Hello and welcome to Promo Marketing's Power Seminar featuring Lisa Leach of Teneo Results. Today we will discuss the new sales reality and ask the question, are your sales conversations keeping up? Today's seminar is proudly sponsored by Performa. I'm Nicole Stella, Editorial Director of Promo Marketing and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me first point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live seminar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console, or let us know via the Ask a Question box. Second, make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can see and take part in any interactive portions of today's presentation. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. And if you're enjoying this seminar and would like to spread the word to your peers, you can send an email invitation directly from the console by clicking the Invite a Colleague button. You can also give us your feedback at any time during the hour by clicking the Survey button. This survey will also be distributed at the end of today's event. As you know, today's speakers will be answering select questions live at the end of the presentation, so just use the Ask a Question feature on the console to submit your questions for consideration in advance at any time. And so there we are. Let's get started. Hi, Lisa. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, Nikki. A pleasure to be here. Certainly, conversations have changed amongst buyers, and I've had the opportunity to do a number of interviews with buyers, so I'm going to be sharing that information in this afternoon's webinar. And let's just move right on to today's agenda. So I've been in sales for almost 20 years, and what I've realized is that the sales game has definitely changed. And in working with many salespeople, both in this industry and other industries, and helping them to grow their business, I could hear their frustration. Even many successful salespeople who have been in the business for 10, 20 years are frustrated with what's going on with buyers. As a business owner, I've even found it more difficult. And for those of you who know me, you know that I love to make my phone calls on Friday mornings. And I found that that wasn't even working. And so before I started in sales, I was on the client side as an advertising manager on the other side of the desk. So I thought it would be best if I went back and spoke to these buyers, ready to have a conversation with them. So this is what leads to today's agenda. I'm going to share with you the 7 biggest mistakes in today's sales conversations based on the feedback from those different buyers. I'm then going to introduce to you the 5 phases of the purposeful sales conversation, because what I've discovered is that the sales cycle is longer and more complex, and I'll share some strategies and techniques on what you can specifically do in order to be more successful in each stages of those conversations. I'll share with you what it takes to secure a first meeting with an important prospect based on the feedback from those buyers from a number of different types of industries. Many salespeople are asking me, so Lisa, what does it take to move the conversation away from price? So I'll share a few strategies on how to do that. And then most importantly, I will share the feedback and the insight of what these buyers have said it's going to take in order for a buyer to switch vendors to you. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So the first thing that we want to look at is, what do buyers really want from you? So what I did was I took the opportunity to interview a number of different buyers from a cross-section of different industries, hotel, media, community college, insurance, pharmaceutical, kind of a good cross-section of different industries. And then from there, within those organizations, I also had the opportunity to have a more purposeful conversation with them to find out what it is that they want. So I interviewed CEOs, general managers, a human resources manager, VP of strategic initiatives, a purchasing buyer, and a director of marketing. All the different types of industries and buyers that people in the promotional industry are wanting to sell to and are selling to, and what they can do. So let's find out, what is it that they really want from you? Well, in the 20 years of sales experience that I have, I'll admit that I thrived on performing cartwheels for my clients, and that's how I was able to be successful in sales. Well, in speaking to many of these buyers, I've realized that buyers have once again raised the bar and that cartwheels are no longer good enough. Actually, what one buyer said, that in order to earn his business and become a valuable resource, you basically have to bend over backwards. And this is a theme that we heard many times throughout the different buyers and interviews that we had. What they all said was you have to be willing to do something that the client has not even thought of to help them achieve their business goals. You have to be one step ahead, thinking outside your traditional service offerings. So let's just take a look at what are the biggest mistakes that salespeople are having in those conversations with the buyers. So the first one that they shared was, I remember when I was selling, boy, it was much, much easier to be able to secure a meeting and have an hour of their time. But many buyers have actually stated that they find that those meetings are not worthwhile. And so that's one of the reasons why they've reduced it down to, I'll give you 10 or 15 minutes. You can hear just the way they say it.
Right.
Here's what happens. So the client only gives you so little time. And even though many people are applying what they think is the consultative selling approach, they know they've got such little time, so the salesperson is talking the entire time. They're going back into that sell and pitch type mode. And that's where the buyer just doesn't have time for that. They're not interested in any more pitches. They want to be able to have collaborative type conversations. Number six. Salespeople are focused on their goals. They've got targets that they have to be able to achieve and goals that they want to achieve during those meetings. And certainly, Nikki, you and I have even talked about that while we were waiting for today's webinar to start about what your goals are when you meet with those clients.
Absolutely, right.
And so what happens is salespeople are too focused on their goals as opposed to the client goals and the opportunity to be able to ask bigger picture type questions about their business. Number five, this is really interesting, and I was surprised by this, but several of the buyers said this. They were surprised at the number of salespeople who are still choosing to wing it. They may have done a little bit of research and gone to their website, but very few salespeople, and actually they said, less than 10% of salespeople are not prepared or have done thorough research where they can actually be thinking about how their products and services will meet that particular buyer and that business. Mm. Number four, salespeople are doing a better job of asking questions. However, because of the limited amount of time, they fall short on asking more questions, better questions, expanding, consultative, and open-ended questions. And that's certainly one of the things that I observe every time I'm on the road with a salesperson. And I have learned that if you ask some really great, powerful questions, all of a sudden the buyer will look at you differently, and all of a sudden they'll realize they're dealing with somebody different than their typical salesperson, and they will find more time for you because that's what they're looking for. Number three, salespeople will ask those questions, but too many salespeople are still thinking it's all about price, and it is about price if it's just a transactional sale. But in order to position yourself as a promotional expert or specialist, what you want to do is to find out what's most important to that buyer. Is it marketing ROI? Is it creating a better brand? What's most important? Number two. Now, again, this was really interesting from the buyer's perspective where they were surprised. They may even have a really good meeting that they thought there's opportunity to be able to move forward. But they were surprised by the shortage of salespeople, less than 50%, who actually didn't make a next step commitment. Yep, okay, this is great. We'll get together next week, or I'll reach out to you, but no firm commitment. And I'm a huge believer in being able to ask for the specific date and time, and I'll share one of those techniques as we move through the webinar in the purposeful sales conversation. And the biggest mistake that salespeople are making in today's sales conversation is this is where the buyer said less than 2% of salespeople are creating a compelling reason to meet. So, and I'll give some examples of that when we get to that stage of the conversation. But it's still, hey, you know, can I have the opportunity to be able to come in and show you the hottest and newest promotional products? That's not compelling enough anymore. It used to be, and it worked very, very well for myself and for many salespeople, but not anymore. So based on all of this, what I want to share and introduce to you is what I call the five phases of the purposeful sales conversation. Each one of these stages or conversations represents a distinct conversation, and there's a purpose for each one of these stages. The sales cycle is longer and more complex than it's ever been before. And so when I've shared this with other salespeople, all of a sudden it's the aha goes on and go, now I know what I need to do. Because too often people have a good first meeting and then they can't understand where it's not going anywhere. So let me just share with you and introduce you these five phases. The first conversation is the self conversation. Then from there, we move to the compelling reason to meet. Once you get the opportunity to have that meeting, we want you to have a purposeful sales conversation, applying the consultative selling process. From there, it's about going back and meeting with your prospective client or an actual client, presenting them the solutions, not just more stuff, but the solutions on how that can help them to achieve their goals. And then the final conversation in the five phases of the purposeful sales conversation is the follow-up conversation, or being able to move to the next step to be able to secure that sale. It's not so easy to be able to walk in, be able to present the hottest and newest promotional products or print, and be able to walk out with an order. That just isn't reality these days. So let's take a look at, and we're going to take some time to be able to share specific strategies and techniques to help our viewers today on how they can have a more purposeful sales conversation. In doing so, I'm also going to share the feedback that we've received from the different buyers on their perspective on what salespeople can do in order to be able to make that conversation more purposeful. So the first conversation, the self conversation. Before you can sell to anybody else, you have to really sell to yourself. You have to have a strategy, and you have to be in that win-win mode. So, Nikki, let me just ask you this. When you go to meet with a client, what type of conversation do you have before you even meet with the customer?
Well, anytime that I give a presentation or talk with you know, in any type of a formal setting like that, I'm one of those folks who tends to go over the conversation and the meeting over and over inside my head, and I visualize how that conversation will go, and I try to plan for sort of all possibilities. So really for me, I am maybe to the point of compulsive in terms of visualizing how it's going to go, how it will begin, and how it will end.
Great, great. And so, Nikki, it sounds like you visualize what the ideal outcome is.
I do. I do. I spend a lot of time, trying to see the successful end. And for anybody who's walking into that situation, you know, you really have to have that sort of a mindset when you're walking in the door, because it just comes, you know, out of you. And people can see that if you're feeling winning that day, it comes out, and they can see that in your presentation.
Excellent, excellent. So, Nikki, I'm glad to see that you've got a very optimistic view. Now, Nikki, let me just ask you, I mean, just between you and I, is there some days where you go, oh, goodness, is this meeting going to be worthwhile? You're not feeling in that winning mood. Does that type of conversation ever happen within your head? Not that you would ever share with anybody at Promo Marketing.
Right. Well, sure. I think everybody has their really good on days where everything goes just right and everything clicks. And then you're always going to have those days where things don't feel like they just went together properly.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to take every single meeting with every single person who crosses my path as an opportunity and remember that, you know, they could come back around tomorrow or next month or 2 or 3 years from now. So I try to keep everything as optimistic and positive as I possibly can.
Awesome, awesome. That's great. Because one of the things that I have recognized over the last couple of years is this economy has eroded a lot of people's business and their confidence.
Right.
So I think the most important conversation that you have to have before you have any conversation with your customer is the self-conversation. And it's something that I'm really reinforcing. And it's really resonating for people. So let's continue to move on. You've now created that win-win strategy and conversation within yourself. You're ready to go out there. The economy has finally turned around, and you want to be able to go out there and grow that business. So the next conversation, you know, at one point in time I was calling this the let's meet conversation. But according to our buyers, that's not good enough anymore. It's got to be a compelling reason to meet. So the first question that I ask these buyers is, When a salesperson wants to meet with you, what do they have to do and say in order to be able to get that first meeting with you? I also asked them, what medium works? And I have to admit, I was amazed at the value and the diversity of the responses. I had, in one particular case, I was talking to a director of marketing. And when I was speaking to him, he basically said, you know, Lisa, we were just having this conversation the other day. And what he said to me was, we were talking about unsolicited sales calls. And I said to him, gee, Drew, you make this sound like it's a disease. And he says, well, it kind of, you know, don't mean to make it sound that way, but it really is tough these days. And he says, to be honest, we ignore a lot of those phone calls. Time is limited, and there are many more communications channels to manage now. He says, in order to, it seems more and more that a vendor has to be connected through someone or their chance of breaking through is limited. He said, it's got to be tough for salespeople these days. Now, I had another CEO. He's in his late 50s. Surprisingly, he said that if you want to be able to get in his door, the best thing to do to get his attention is a handwritten letter with a handwritten envelope, and he said, and even lick the stamp. Now, on the flip side, we had a manager of human resources and training. She's in her early 30s. She said the most effective way to reach her is text or even BBM. A general manager of a hotel said that email is much easier to reach him than phone call, and he is willing to return all emails. He says the reason he's willing to do that is, rather than making a phone call, is it takes approximately 8 to 10 minutes to return a phone call. By the time he records the telephone number and makes that call and has that chit-chat, where he can be much, much more succinct in being able to do email. Now, I also interviewed a director of purchasing for a large hardware chain. They have over 1,000 stores. He receives approximately 100 calls. He has 15 buyers that report to them. Now, they do have gatekeepers in place, but what he said was, don't use email as your only way of contact because it's too easy for him to ignore your email. He also said if you send an email, don't follow up in what he called 7 nanoseconds and ask if I received the email. He also very bluntly said, don't put a read receipt on your email. It's not your business to know when I've read your email. He did say, pick up the phone and call me. He said, be short, informative, and give me a compelling reason for face-to-face meeting. They do set up 6 to 7 supplier meetings per day, but he wants to be able to have that compelling reason. And this is where he said very few salespeople are doing a good job of this. He said it has to build with relationships. He says when we meet with the person, we strip away everything else. It's about the relationships. But in that relationship, you have to tell me, show me how you can make me money with your product or service. Now, another person who is the VP of strategic initiatives for a large media company, she said a referral is the best way to touch her. She said most people don't understand her role because she's a VP of strategic initiatives and she's part of the C-suite. They think it's just a way to get in. So she gets all sorts of kind of emails, and she says it adds a lot of junk to her inbox and voicemail, and it's an immediate turnoff. She says the message needs to ensure that they understand my role, that their offering might help me with my point of pain, and that they've given me a place to go and look on my own about what they offer. Then I might consider a meeting. Some tough buyers. The last person, she was the director of human resources for a pharmaceutical company. She said, if you happen to catch me at my desk, a phone call works well. If you leave a voicemail message, I won't respond. LinkedIn requests, especially if you know someone in my network, works very well. She feels compelled to respond when a referral is referenced, and so referrals work best for her. So as you can see, we've got a cross-section of a number of different buyers and a number of different ways to be able to get in their door. I think in summary, what we have to look at is that you have to do the research on the company and the contact person. Visit the company, Google them, check them out on LinkedIn or Facebook to learn more about how you can connect. That seems to be so important. You also have to quickly articulate a compelling, customized message on how your service offerings will help this person. Be prepared to explain the benefit of meeting with them. And use a variety of media to reach out to them and connect with this person. So it may be a combination of phone calls, referrals, LinkedIn, BBM, direct mail, and even handwritten letters. The effectiveness of the medium will vary depending on the person you're wanting to be able to meet, but I think a variety of touch points is so important to reinforce your strong, compelling message. And what many of the panelists said is that in order to differentiate yourself, this is what you've got to do. You've got to be willing to put in the work and really hone in on that what that message is. So that's so important to be able to do that. Now, let me just give you a quick little example of what you can do. I mean, here might be an example of a compelling reason. Here's something where a lot of people have seen the let's meet conversation. So, good morning, John. How are you? Are you planning any holidays this summer? Well, John, I realize that you always do a number of trade shows in the fall, and I'm just checking in with you to see if you need any promotional giveaways or new shirts for this trade show. So that's what we've seen and has worked very, very well, but it doesn't work anymore. So here might be an example of how you could create a more compelling reason. So good morning, John. I see that you're planning to exhibit at your trade shows this fall. I'd like to be able to meet with you because you've mentioned earlier that marketing budgets are tighter. And so we've got some different promotional solutions that are going to help you to create a better investment at that trade show. So we want to help you to be able to work the aisle and generate better quality leads. So, John, are you available to meet on Tuesday morning? Would 10 o'clock work, or would Thursday at 2 work better? So, again, more compelling with a specific date and time and some options of when you can meet and provide those different promotional solutions to make that trade show worthwhile. So you've now created that compelling reason. We now want to be able to move into the purposeful sales conversation. And here's where it's all about you want to ask, not tell them about what you can do. You want to be able to create a collaborative and creative approach and applying what we call the 8-step consultative selling process, not just the consultative selling approach. So let me share with you an example or a technique that you can do. So you'll see here on my screen, many salespeople very much want to talk about what are the needs, what is the current situation. So if, let's look at, for example, if we had a golf tournament that's coming up. And they may say, yes, we're looking for some different types of promotional items to be able to put into, you know, a swag bag and things like that. You could certainly ask all of that, and the questions may be focused on, you know, what have you done in the past, what colors, how many imprints on your logo, what quantity, what is the delivery date, and what is the delivery date or the date of the golf tournament. I'm a huge believer in being able to move that conversation, and this is how you can move it away from price, by looking at asking great questions. Now, I realize that most trainers and coaches and many sales experts are telling salespeople to focus on probing questions about pains or challenges. I recommend taking it to a higher level. Your objective is to get your client or prospect talking, so they can be talking about their goals or the ideal outcome for their marketing project or event, or in this case, the trade show. So let me give you a couple of examples of some great questions. My favorite question to begin any conversation is, how's business? Because I want to find out, is business working better for them in 2011 or not? And how do I start to navigate this conversation? Then I like to ask him, you know, how much do you want to be growing your business in 2011? And then I continue to segue the questions, such as, you know, what are your marketing initiatives to achieve that business growth this year? Then, you know, you could lead to, what would be the ideal outcome or result for this marketing event or for this golf tournament? You know, are you being held accountable to demonstrate the marketing ROI? Even if it's a simple golf tournament, you know, how are you measuring the ROI? So all of a sudden it gets them asking more questions, thinking more. There are so many golf tournaments these days that one of the key challenges is people, you know, getting people to participate in those golf tournaments. And what do they ultimately want to achieve? Do they want to do it as a client appreciation? Well, then do you just want to give away a cheap swag bag? Or maybe it's about a fundraiser. or client appreciation where they really want to show their appreciation. I've attended a number of golf tournaments, and even though I've been in this industry, I've had the opportunity to walk away with a great experience that definitely I want to attend that golf tournament next year. And then, you know, I can look right here in my office and see, you know, some of the different trophies I've won for, you know, longest drive, or even some of the really, really nice golf shirts that I've been given at golf tournaments. So, again, being able to find out what are the goals of that golf tournament, what does the client or that charity really want to accomplish? And that's where you can then position yourself very differently and help them to be able to do that. So then once you've had the opportunity to have that really great purposeful sales conversation, understand what their goals are, this is where you can come back and be able to present them with solutions on how they're going to be able to make that golf tournament be able to achieve their goals. You know, another great question would be, how can we help you to look really good at this golf tournament? So then what I recommend is that you go back to them with a proposal as opposed to a quote, because that's really what's going to move the conversation away from price. Quote sounds all about a price. A proposal sounds all about solutions. So what you want to do is to take a look at how you can go back and present that proposal. And here's one of the biggest differences I see. Too many salespeople email them the quote or even the proposal. You want to have another conversation with the client on how to be able to present that proposal so that you're giving them the different options. Option number one may be about their needs, maybe that swag bag, whereas option two and three are more around the goals and creating that ideal golf tournament. So then that leads to the final conversation, the follow-up conversation. And we're going to be wrapping up this webinar in a few minutes, and I believe we might have 1 or 2 minutes for some questions. Will we have time to do that, Nikki? So what we want to do is to be able to make sure that we ask for that follow-up conversation. And so they may say, yep, this proposal looks really, really good. I'll get back to you next week. And we know many buyers just don't do that. These days, with everybody having their iPhone and their BlackBerries in front of them, it's easy for you to be able to pull that out and say, can we set up a time? When can I give you a call? How about next Thursday at 2 o'clock? So you're securing the next step of when you're going to be able to secure this sale. That's what it's all about, securing the next date and time and being able to do that with their BlackBerry. So ultimately, what is it that you have to do to get a buyer to switch vendors? Well, here's basically what a few buyers have said. It takes time. Patience is important. Make our jobs easier. Be prepared. Show us how we can, how you can make us more money or to be able to generate more opportunities. Be reasonable. Share your expectations. But most importantly, do your homework. Use your time wisely and use their time wisely. The director of HR at the pharmaceutical company says, do what you say you're going to do and do it really well. Offer me other things to me that I've not even thought about. That's what bending over backwards is all about. And one last buyer said, you know, we'll change vendors because quite often the current vendors don't stay in touch. And so they need to be able to ask, what are the changing needs? That's why it's so important to be able to have that purposeful sales conversation. So what will you do to be able to have a more purposeful sales conversation? So my question to you is, the thought-provoking question, how will you create more purposeful sales conversations with your prospects and clients to position you as a valuable promotional partner and resource, not only to them, but to their business and to their business goals? And if you're looking at how you can really hone your skills, sharpen your sales skills, and really focus on what it is that you can do better, certainly we offer different types of coaching programs. I've had the opportunity and I'm working very closely with Performa, and we've been able to customize these coaching programs. Performa, our sponsor, does a great job of offering all sorts of other resources so that all you have to do is focus on selling. And certainly these days, based on buyer's demands, you have to be getting so much better at selling and being able to meet the demanding needs of those buyers. If you have any questions, I think we may have a time to be able to take one or two questions, or certainly feel free to contact me or email me. Be more than happy to help you have a more purposeful sales conversation with your customers and prospects to help you grow your business. And back to you, Nikki. Do we have any questions?
I do. I have one question I think that is a really important one for you to address with our audience today, and that would be, to get that first meeting, what is the most important question to ask that prospective client when you're trying to get your foot in the door?
Well, I mean, here's a great question that I like to be able to ask, is to ask them, you know, how many different marketing resources and suppliers do they have? And ask them how satisfied they are. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate that current supplier? And quite often the question that we see is, oh, they're an 8 or a 9. So most salespeople think, oh, wow, they're already doing a really good job. There's somebody already in there. But here's the additional question that you could ask. What would make them a 10? And all of a sudden, that buyer will start to share with you a little bit of insight as to what they could be doing better, which will then give you the insight as to what you could do better to differentiate yourself and make yourself better to be that 10 against their current supplier.
Wow. Thank you so much, Lisa. I think we're just about out of time for today. But thank you for your time and all of your insight. And on behalf of Promo Marketing and our sponsor, Performa, I want to thank everybody for attending our Power Seminar today. And thank you so much, everybody, for coming out today, and we'll see you next time.